Today's Shir Masechta Be'ei Da'avav. We will begin on Da'avav Amud Aleph on the top of the Amud. Amar Rava. Nice Yontav Rishon, Rachman Atzlan. There is a Nifter, and it's the first day of Yontav. The question that needs to be discussed is, can we bury this person? How can we bury this person? So says Rava, on the first day of Yontav, Yisasku by Amimim. We should ask non-Jews to be involved in the burial of the mace. Because of Kavod HaMace, they allowed to bury on Yontif, but it has to be strictly through Akum. Mace B'Yontif Sheni, on the second day Yontif, is asked by Yisrael, we could use Jews. Vafilu, says the Gemara, B'Shnei Yom Tem Shosh Hashanah, where is in our previous year, we had an extensive discussion that the second day Yontif Rosh Hashanah is very possible Kedusha Achas. It's one long Kedusha, the first day and the second day Yontif. And since it's one long Kedusha, so maybe the second day ought to be treated like the first day. Teaches us rather that even the second day, Rosh Hashanah, we may do the Kvura through a Yisrael. Masha Enkem Ebeya, the halacha is that Ebeya, if it's born on the first day Yontif, it's Mutter on the second day Yontif, as we learned at the end of the previous year. But by Rosh Hashanah, we said if it was born on the first day Yontif, it may not be eaten on the second day of Yontif Rosh Hashanah. That's regarding Be'ya. But regarding the issue that we're discussing in today's shir, we do treat the second day Rosh Hashanah as a second day Yontif, where we allow the burial to be taking place a day Yisrael. So, of course, the Maram Chalava, in introducing this Gemara, says here we're only speaking about if Rachman Litzlon, the person who we are discussing, passed away. And now we have a mace, and now we have a discussion, as we're going to be discussing extensively in our shir today, when may we or may we not, when and how may we bury this mace on Yontif. But if we have a person who's very sick, even if he's a goysis, and we anticipate that unfortunately he's going to be passing away soon, as long as he's still alive, of course, none of these halachas apply. We're not allowed to do anything in preparation for a burial. Moreover, makes the round the point that this halacha that we're discussing in our shir today are strictly by Yontif, but not by Shabbos and not by Yom Kippur. By Shabbos and Yom Kippur, we're never lenient, because even though, as we're learning in our shir today, that there's a concept of Kavod HaMace, and because of Kavod HaMace, we're lenient in allowing the mace to be buried through an Akum on the first day, through Jews on the second day, but anything may not be done on Shabbos and Yom Kippur. Shabbos and Yom Kippur are stricter that we can't do any burial and we have to wait for after Yontif. So the Mishnah said, the Gemara said, that if the person was nifta on the first day, is asked by amimim. We should do everything through non-Jews. So the Rav Chanan, the Kavod Shurim, says, is that why we know that typically we would like a Jew to be buried through Jews. So why, if he was never nifter on the first day Yontif, do we do the kvura through Nachrim? Why don't we wait until night, when night will already be the second day Yontif, and if it's the second day Yontif, then we could use Jews. So he says that there are certain types of mitzvahs where the mitzvah is the actual performance of the mitzvah. And certain types of mitzvahs, the mitzvah is not the actual performance of the mitzvah, but the mitzvah is the result of the mitzvah. So he says, when it comes to being mekaver a Jew, when it comes to being mekaver a person who is nebuch nifter, the mitzvah is not the actual act of burial. The mitzvah is that he should be buried. And therefore, as long as we saw to it that this person who was nifter was buried, even though it meant that he was buried through amimim on Yontif, it's still preferable. The mitzvah has been considered, says Rabbi Chanan, to have been performed, because the goal of the mitzvah, of the mace being buried, has been performed. The Shita Mekubetzes, says, why do we have to do the kfura on the first ayantif through amamim? We could try to do it through a yisrael, but only have the yisrael do melacha. So he says that even though we may be able to do certain melachas through a yisrael by doing them through a drabanan, still, since some melachas will ultimately have to be done by amamim, and therefore since certain melachas will have to be done by amamim, so he brings two opinions. One opinion is that whatever could indeed be done, the opinion of the Ran, anything that could be done through a Yisrael, with a Rabbanon, we should do through Yisrael, through a Rabbanon. But the Ramban's opinion is that since, as we just said, for certain aspects of the burial, we're going to have to use Amamim, so says the Ramban that the entire Kvura and the entire Levaya should be done through Amamim and not start working with Yisrael. The Shita Mekubetzis has now a different discussion. He says, and this is a discussion that begins with the Rishonim and continues with the Achronim. Somebody was Nifter on the first day Yontif. Our Gemara is saying that we could use Amamim. Should we wait for the second day Yontif, or truthfully, should we wait for after Yontif to do the Kvura Yidei Yisrael, to do the Kvura in the proper way, or should we do the Levaya on the first day with Amamim and the second day through Yisrael? So the Shita Mekubetzis says that certainly in a situation where we're going to wait for the second day in order that we should be able to do the Levaya through Yisrael is awesome. He says, just like there's a concept on Chol HaMoed, a Mechaven Melach De Lamoid, one is not allowed to set up a situation where he's going to need to do Melach on Chol HaMoed. Here too, by delaying the Levaya for the second day Yontif, what we're going to do is, we're going to say, okay, so now the Levaya will be on the second day, and on the second day we just learned to the Gemara, the Yisaskar by Yisrael, to create deliberately a situation where Yisrael will do a Levaya, says the Shita Mekubetzis, is something that's inappropriate. Moreover, that says the Shita Mekubetzis, that if it's a situation where it's for the cover of the Nifter to wait for the second day of Yontif, or even to wait for after Yontif, that takes precedence. And I saw that the Sefer Chashuki Chemed, in fact, makes an interesting observation. He says that it turns out that there could be two people that were Nifter on the same day, and according to this Shita Mekubetzis, one person's Levaya will take place on Yontif, as our Gemara just said, and the other person's Levaya, if it's for his kavod and he's an Adam Gadol, according to Shita Mekubetzis, we would delay it for after Yontif. Furthermore, says the Hilchos Gedolos, that even though the Levaya that's done on the first day is done through Amamim, Yisraelim, Jews, may attend the Levaya, but Jews may not go outside of the Tchum in attending the Levaya. The Ramban says that on the second day Yontif, once the Gemara said that on the second day Yontif, Yisasker by Yisrael, says the Ramban that it's specifically Yisasker by Yisrael. That means even if we have a situation where we could find Akum who could do the Levaya on the second day of Yontif as well, says the Ramban that once Chazal said that we're allowed to do whatever we need, that the Levaya may be done on the second day through Yisrael. So says the Ramban, what that means is that on the second day Yontif, as far as the Halacha is concerned, the second day Yontif is not Yontif for this Nifter. And L'chatchila we could use Yisraelim and don't have to use Akum, even though they are available. Moreover, says the Tzlach, the Gemara said that not only did this halacha apply the first day Yontif, the second day Yontif, on every Yontif, but even on Rosh Hashanah, which we discussed in our previous year, that the conversation that maybe the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are considered one Kedusha. He says, the Tzlach, that Bizman Azeh, that we know that the first day of Rosh Hashanah is really the first day of Rosh Hashanah. We know the first day of Rosh Hashanah is Aleph Tishrei. That's why Bizman Azeh, even in Rosh Hashanah, even though, as we keep on repeating, the 2 days of Yontif Rosh Hashanah are stricter than all other two-day Yontif, the best proof is that even in Eretz Yisrael, they keep 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. But says the Tzlach, we know that really the first day Yontif is the first day Yontif. And we're only keeping the second day because of Minig Aveseinu. That's why we could be lenient on the second day. But suggest the Tzlach, there's Manche Beis HaMidosh HaYakayim. As we discussed in the previous year, where there they kept both days because of the Edom. Says the Tzlach, in the times of Beis HaMikdash, they kept the first day and they didn't have Edom, so then they kept the second day, perhaps, or they didn't know when the Edom will come. Says the Tzlach, in the time of Beis HaMikdash, Rava would agree that both days, Rosh Hashanah, Alevayim may be done on only by Akum. There are Achroinim that disagree with the Tzlach and say that Rava didn't make such a distinction, and the Rava rule applies even in Rosh Hashanah, even in all different times of our history. When we're being lenient on the second day of Yontif, that on allowing Yisrael to do it, so most Rishonim are of the opinion that only the person who has to be involved in the Levaya may go to do the Levaya, but no one else. But now the question is, may he come back from doing the Levaya? Now he went to do the Levaya, especially if the Levaya, if the place of burial was Chutz L'Tchum. What would be the Halacha? May he come back, or should he wait there, again, provided that it's a place where he could wait, till after Yontif and come back? So most Rishonim are lenient. They're lenient for two reasons. One reason they're lenient is because we may need this person again for a Levaya, for another Levaya, and that's why he may come back. But another reason why the Paiskim suggest we to be lenient is because the concept that we often find in Shas, and that is the concept of a Tirus Sofer Mishum Tchilasan. If we're not going to be lenient in allowing this person to come back on the second day Yontif, he's never going to want to have to go to a Levaya again. He's going to say, if the price of me participating in the Levaya, of accomplishing the Kavod HaMeis, is that I'm not going to be able to come back until after Yontif and stay there and not have a Yontif, the halacha is, because if that's the price we're going to have to pay, he's never going to want to do a Levaya, and that's why we're lenient. Of course, the big question that comes up is when the Gemara here discusses that we're lenient and we allow the Levaya to be done on the first day, on the second day, is that only in a situation where there's an issue in delaying the Levaya, it's not Kavod HaMeis for delaying the Levaya, or is it only in a situation, is it in all situations that we're allowed to do the Levaya on the second day? So the Bi'ah Halacha quotes a Yamsha Shleima that in a place where there isn't a special minig, you should be machmer and not do the Levaya unless this Levaya has been delayed anyway, where the person maybe was nifter on the first Erev Yontif and we couldn't do the Levaya because it was late in the day. So if there's a question on such a situation, that's when we should delay the Levaya. That's when we should do the Levaya on Yontif. But in the other circumstances, not. But then the Bi'ah Halacha concludes that Halacha is that once the Gemara says that we're allowed to do the Levaya on the second day, then we should do the Levaya on the Levaya on Yontif no matter what. However, Rav Moshe and Digris Moshe disagrees. Rav Moshe writes that Kvura on Yontif, Bezman Hazeh, should be discontinued, because he says that many times doing a Kvura, doing a Levaya on Yontif, causes a Chilul Yontif that isn't permitted. He says sometimes we're going to end up having that people drive to the cemetery or drive to the levaya when they're not allowed to. Only the person who's involved in the actual burial could go. Others may not go. So he says, if doing the levaya is going to cause that people should be mechal yontif, so we now have a situation of lifnei evil asitim michshol, of making the levaya causes that people will do an aveira. And he says, under such circumstances, he says a very important concept. He says, the reason Rava in our shir was lenient with a levaya on yontif was as we began the shir because of kavod ha'meis. But says Rav Moshe, if as a result of doing this levaya on yontif, we're not going to have kavod ha'meis, we're going to have just the opposite, that there's going to be chil yontif and other things that shouldn't happen happening, that isn't a cover for a mace. And since that isn't a cover for the mace, it's the opposite of what we're trying to accomplish. And so too, the Shal Sechuvas Chelkas Yaakov, in Yoyredeya Simon Kuf Tzadik Beis, says that even if because of having this levaya on yontif, even on Yontif Sheni, we're going to cause that people should be Mechal Yontif. And he says, even if they're just going to be Mechal Yontif with a Derabbanan, still, that isn't Kavod HaMeis. He says, on the contrary, the Kavod HaMeis is to delay the Levaya, and that because of the Meis, there was no Chil Yontif. Not everybody agrees. The Shal Sechuvas Shevet HaLevi, Chelik Dalmud Simon Kuf Lamed Hei, seems to take a more lenient approach, and he says that under all circumstances, the Levaya could be done on Yontif, as the Gemara told us. Nadoi Amri, says the Gemara, Nadoi says, Af Bebeya, Chazal were Mekel, and they allowed that the egg that was hatched on the first day Yontif could be eaten on the second day Yontif, not only by every Yontif, but even by Rosh Hashanah. Because my datach, why would we take a strict approach? Because we need to be concerned. Dilma Mabre Leila Elul. Maybe Bezdin will make Elul into a 30-day month, and Tishrei will be the next day. And therefore, if Bezdin won't be mekabel the Edim, won't accept the Edim on the first day Yontif, they're going to make the second day Yontif. So as we explained in yesterday's shir, that will cause that the 2 days Yontif are one long day. And that's why we should treat them as one Yom HaRichter. And that's why the halacha ought to be that the Beya, the egg that was born on the first day Yontif, will be also on the second day Yontif as well, because it's one long day as far as the halacha is concerned. Says the Gemara, says Nadoi, there's no reason to be concerned for that. Because Ha'amarav Chinano Bar Kahana Amarav, Mimais Ezra V'Elech, going back to the time of Ezra, when Metzino Elul Uber, we never found that Elul was Uber, and therefore they always made the first day Rosh Hashanah is really the first day, and the second day is only because of Minig. And as the Chassam Sofer explains, that doesn't mean that just because the Gemara says that Mimais Ezra V'Elech Lemetzino Elul Uber, that Rosh Hashanah is not keep 2 days. What Nahadoi means to say is that of course we keep 2 days Rosh Hashanah. Similar to now that we certainly know how the calendar is worked out, and we know that the first day of Rosh Hashanah is Aleph Tishrei. But that accomplishes enough that the 2 days Yontif are considered two separate Kedushas, and that's why the Beya, the egg that's born, that's hatched on the first day Yontif, is Mutter on the second day Yontif. Says the Gemara, Amma Mazutra, Loya Marin, going back to what we discussed at the beginning of the Shir, that if the mace was Nifter on the second day Yontif, we can make a Levaya even through Yisraelim, Ela Dishtai, where we're concerned that the mace may decompose. Avaloy Shtar, if there's not, we don't have that consideration, then Mashinalei, we could delay it. And here, there's a very fundamental Machlokes Rishonim. When the Gemara is saying now, according to Mazutra, that we could delay a Levaya if there's no concern of decomposing, what does that mean? Does that mean that we shouldn't do the Levaya on the first day We shouldn't do Levaya on the second day through Jews, but we could do it through Akum. Doesn't mean that we shouldn't do the Levaya on the first day, but on the second day, as we're learning in our Gemara, that we keep the second day only because of Minig, there we could be lenient. Or does Rav Zutra mean to say that if there's no concern of deterioration, then we should wait for after Yontif to do the Levaya altogether? So we have another two questions. One question is on the first day Yontif. Does the Gemara mean that the first day Yontif we should never do the Levaya if we don't have that concern, but the second day we may? Or does it even imply even to the second day Yontif where we're doing the Levaya through Akum, but still we shouldn't do the Levaya when on the second day if we don't have to? Vashama, and it says the Gemara, and that's the Halacha. Ravashi Amar, Afkav de Laishtei, even if there's no, we don't have that concern, Nami Loi Mashinale, we don't delay the Levaya. My Tama, because as we said earlier, Yontif Sheni Gabi Meis, the second day Yontif, as far as a Levaya is concerned, Kechosha of Yura Rabbanan, it's considered like a regular weekday. And therefore he says, Afila Megaz Le Glimei, even to make, to prepare tachrichim for the mace, or megas lay also, or to prepare hadasim to put on the nifter of the on the coffin if there's a bad smell, all of it if it's done the kavra mace is mutter. However, says Ravina, v'hinna dikka chabri, he says now we live through with the chavorim, which were non-Jews, who were very upset that Jews refused to come to work on Yontif. And if they're going to see that we're doing a Levaya on the second day Yontif, they're going to say, ah, it's a proof that this that you're telling us that you can't come to work is not true. Because we see that when you want to work, you're allowed to work. So says Ravina, if there's a concern by conducting a Levaya, it'll cause problems for Jews who don't want to work on Yontif, then we shouldn't do the Levaya on Yontif. The halacha is not a question that I saw that the Paiskim, the Rishonim already discussed. So we're learning, and we just said that we're passing like Rav Ashi, then the second day Yontif, we could do a Levaya, even through a Jew. The Rishonim and Achronim already discussed, can a Jew get paid for that Levaya? Because we know that Tzchah Shabbos, Tzchah Yontif, getting paid for work on Shabbos and Yontif is Osir. So Rabbeinu Yeruchim says that you're allowed to get paid, because we need to be concerned that if we're not going to be able to pay the person who's doing this work, nobody's going to want to do the Levaya. It's hard enough to find somebody to do a Levaya on Yontif. If we're not going to pay him, we won't be able to find people, and that's why we could be lenient. But others, the Yam Shishloima, take a different approach. And the question really, as I saw the Taz explains, how far do we take this concept that we're learning that the second day Yontif, Kechol Shavu Rabbanan, is treated like weekday? Doesn't mean it's completely treated like weekday. And if it's completely treated like weekday, so then the person who's taking care of the Levaya may get paid. If we say Kechol Shavu Rabbanan is only as far as the Kavod HaMeis, but this is not for the Meis, this is for the person who did the Levaya, may be done. Moreover, Rashi says that when we said that we're allowed to be make tachrichim, it's not talking about a case where we didn't have tachrichim at all. Because if we didn't have tachrichim at all, certainly we would allowed to do what we have to do. How can we bury a nifter, rachman l'tzlan, without tachrichim? Rashi seems to learn that even if the tachrichim we have are not the right type of tachrichim, to prepare the right type of tachrichim is mutter, if that's what's the covered on the mace. So the Gemara says that if there's a concern that the Chavarim will take this as a way to make Jews do Melacha on Yontif, then we shouldn't do the Yontif. And therefore, Tosfos says that the only people that should do the Levaya on the second day Yontif, along the same Zay, the same line, should be B'nai Torah. Only people who are Tamid Chachamim and know what's permissible and what's not permissible and will not extrapolate from the fact that we're doing the Levaya on the second day of Yom Tov, they're going to extrapolate that the second day Yom Tov is lenient and come to do all types of Malacha. And that's why Tosfos says that we should be careful to use B'nai Torah to know what's permitted and what's not permitted and not make any mistake. Ravina Aviyosa Kameid Rav Ashi. Says the Gemara, Ravina was sitting in front of Rav Ashi B'shnei Yom Tov Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah fell that year on Thursday and Friday. Says the Gemara, Chaz Yedava Atzif. He saw, Ravina saw Rav Ashi was upset. Amalei Amai Atzif Mar. So he asked him, why are you upset? Amalei Delay Sivi Erev Tashilin. We know that if Yom Tov falls on Friday, so the question is, can we or may we cook on Friday or for Shabbos? So there's really two parts to this, to the way we could do so. One is that the reason we're allowed to cook on Friday is because the basic reason is because hoyl or mikle orchim, somebody may get guests on Yom Tov, and therefore when I'm cooking on Friday, I'm not necessarily cooking for Friday for Yom Tov. I'm cooking for Shabbos for the guests that will come. I'm cooking for Friday for the guests that will come. And because the basic heter of this is hoyl, therefore the halach is whatever we cook on Friday may only be cooked in a time and in a way that it will be edible on Friday. If it will not be edible on Friday, that means I could only have that food on Shabbos, so they don't have the concept of hoyl. And secondly, we have the concept of Erev Tavshilin. By putting that in Erev Tavshilin, Erev Yom Tov, that connects, Chazal say, that connects Friday and Shabbos. We learned these Gemaras Masechta Ksachim. So because of a combination of the concept of Hoyl and putting that in Erev Tavshilin, when Yom Tov is on Friday, we could cook for Shabbos. Of course, the Erev Tavshilin has to be put down on Thursday. Here, says the Gemara, Rav Ashi was upset. And he said, and he was asked why he was upset. And he said, I didn't put down an Erev Tavshilin to be able to cook for Friday for Shabbos. Amalei. So he told him, mar, why don't you put down the Erev Tavshilin today, the first day Yom Tov? Milay Amar Rava. Haven't we learned from Rava? Adam Erev Tavshilin Yom Tov L'Chaveri. A person could put down an Erev Tavshilin on the first day Yom Tov or Masna and make the following condition. He says as follows. If today is Yom Tov, then tomorrow is not Yom Tov. Because the only reason we're keeping 2 days Yom Tov is because it's fake of the Yom. So if the first day is truly Yom Tov, that means tomorrow, Friday, is not Yom Tov. If it's not Yom Tov, there's no problem cooking Friday for Shabbos. If, on the other hand, today is not Yom Tov and tomorrow is the real Yom Tov, so today is not Yom Tov. If today is not Yom Tov, I'm allowed to put down a Erev Tavshilin. Amalei, so Rav Ashi said to him, said to Ravina, Eimed Amar Rava, when did Rava allow for this leniency? B'shnei Yom Tov Shogolius. On a regular 2 day Yom Tov, as we just explained. However, B'shnei Yom Tov Shel Rosh Hashanah, which, as we keep on repeating in our shir, has the category of a Yoima Arichta, Mi Omer, did he allow for such a system? Ask the Gemara. Ask Ravina of Amrin Adai, haven't we learned in today's Shia that Adai said that Apei Mataris, that the halacha looks at the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah also as it looks as two days of any Yom Tov. So if you're agreeable that we could do this by every Yom Tov, you should agree that we're allowed to do this by Rosh Hashanah. Amalei Reb Martcha, so Reb Martcha said, who was a Talmud of Ashi, said to Ravina, don't ask Rav Ashi from the opinion of Adai, but Farish Amalei Mar, Rav Ashi told me that he doesn't agree with Nadoi. And since he doesn't agree with Nadoi, Rosh Hashanah is considered a Yom Arichta. And therefore, if Rosh Hashanah were to fall on Thursday and Friday, then we don't have this, we can't do this. The Shita says that even though, certainly on other Yom Tov, not Rosh Hashanah, this approach works, but the Shita quoting Tosfos says that we can only rely on such a system we should make a bracha. Moreover, says the Kaf Chaim, brings down a very interesting discussion. We know that when the Rav of the city, a Rabbanim put down an Erev, they make a declaration that this Erev should work on behalf of all the people in the city. So now the Kav Chaim has a question. If we have the circumstances that we just discussed, where Yontif is on Thursday, Friday, and the person forgot on Wednesday to put down the Erev Tashilin, what's better? Should you rely on this Erev with the Tanai that we just discussed, or should we rely on the Erev of the Rav of the town? So he says it's better to rely, that somebody should make his own Erev than to rely on the Erev of the Rav of the town. He does say that there are other Paiskim that disagree, that say that putting down the Erev in this way comes with all sorts of shilas. Certainly, as we just learned, putting down such an Erev, you don't make a bracha on it. And therefore, maybe there are other Paiskim that say, don't put down the Erev with a Tanai, but rather rely on the Erev of the Rav of the city. Itmar, says the Gemara, Efrayach Shenoyelach B'Yontif, a chick that was born on Yontif. Rav Amar Osir, Rav says you may not eat that chick on Yontif. V'Shmuel V'Tamer Rabbi Yochanan, Mutter, that you may eat that chick on Yontif. So the Rashba asks, why are we not concerned on a chick that's born that it should be not in the category of what we discussed at the beginning of the Masechta, Mashkin Shazavu, Peris Hanoishrim, something that falls off a tree, juice that comes out of a fruit, Arasar. So why is this chick no different? So he says that here we're dealing with a living chick. A living chick is very different, he says, than fruit and pears and eights and fruit juice and fruit and wood, and therefore there's no reason to make such a gzeira. Rav Amasar, Rav says that this chick that's born on Yontif may not be eaten muksahi, because Ben Ashmashes it wasn't here. Anything that wasn't here Ben Ashmashes, we apply the concept of miga diskatzoy le Ben Ashmashes iskatzoy le kula yoyma. He says that since it becomes mutter by shchita, and the shchita may be done on Yontif, that's why I could eat this chick on Yontif. So of course, the achronim try to understand why because I could do shchita on Yontif, does it take away the concern of muksa? So the Ar Sameach says a beautiful explanation. He says the whole concept of muksa is learned from the pasuk v'chinu ashiyviu. The pasuk v'chinu ashiyviu teaches us that what we want to eat or use on Shabbos and Yontif has to be here prepared before Shabbos for Yontif. Says the Or Sameach, when is that applicable? That's applicable only, he says, by something that exists in the world. So if there's something that already exists in the world, the halacha tells us, if it exists in the world and you want to have it on Shabbos and Yontif, v'chinu, prepare it. Have in mind that you're going to use it on Shabbos and Yontif. But something that doesn't exist in the world at all, or something that exists but now exists in a totally different shape and form, like this chick, on that the din of v'chinu doesn't apply. Because it changed from its original status from what it was to what it is. In such a situation, we don't apply the concept of noilad. Amalei Rav Kana Rasi L'Rav, V'chima Bein Zeh L'Egel Shnoil B'Yontif. Rav says that the chick that was born on Yontif may not be eaten on Yontif. Ask Rav Kahana Ravasi to him, everybody agrees that if a calf was born on Yontif, we could shecht it on Yontif. So why is this any different? Now, why is the halacha that indeed it could be shechted on Yontif? So Pashup Shad is, we have the concept, that's what the Gemara means to say, that since we have the concept of Hoyl Mater Atzma B'Shchita, anytime we have the case of Hoyl Mater Atzma B'Shchita, that's why we take that approach. Another thing is we're going to learn the Gemara, because the calf can be mutter amalhu hoil mukhun agavima b'shchita. The halacha is that if we shecht a mother we shecht the cow, and if we find in the cow a animal, then the animal we find with the rice so we could eat without shechita. So that's why, explains the Baal Amor, we have two reasons pushing us that we could allow that the calf could be eaten. One is that it's mutter agav imoy, and one is the concept that we just learned of matter atzmoy b'shechita. As the Gemara, Oma bein zel egel, and that's why an egel is different, says Rav. Says the Gemara, Oma bein zel egel shenol metreifa. The halacha is that we could rely on the shechit of the mother midaraisa for the calf that's found in its womb in a situation where the mother is not a treifa. But when the mother is a treifa, we can't rely on that shechita. So it's going to have its own shechita. Yet the halacha is that we're allowed to shech that calf in yontif. Why are we allowed to shech that calf in yontif? Because obviously we could rely on the concept of matar atzma b'shechita. So that should apply to the chick as well. Says the Brisker Rav. He says as follows. If the mother is a treifa, so the shechita of a treifa, why is there a difference that we can rely on the shechita of the mother when the mother is not a treifa versus when we can't rely on the shechita of the mother when the mother is a treifa? Says the Brisker Rav. Because the shechita of a treifa does not have the halachic status of a shechita. Since it doesn't have the halachic status of a shechita, so that shechita wasn't a ma'aseh shechita. And of course, we're not allowed to eat any meat without a ma'aseh shechita. So that's why we have to do a ma'aseh shechita on the calf. But if the mother is not a treifa, so that ma'aseh shechita is a ma'aseh shechita. And since it's considered a ma'aseh shechita, therefore the shechita of the mother will be effective for the child. So the Gemara says, the chick that's born on Yontif should be no different than an eagle that was born from a mother that's a treifa on Yontif, that the halach is, we could check the eagle anyway. Shasuk Rav. So says the Gemara, Rav remained silent. He didn't seem to have an answer on the question. Amar Rav Avitema, Rav Yosef, my time is Shasuk Rav. Why did Rav have to be quiet? Lemelu, when he could have said that the eagle that's born from the calf is not muksa, that if the mother is a treifa, we could serve it to be eaten by the animals. And when it be eaten by the animals, not only would the mother be eaten, the calf would be eaten. And therefore, it's not muksa because it was already designated for animal food from before Yontif. Since it was designated as animal food before Yontif, it's not muksa. Whereas the chick in its shell can't be served to animals, and therefore it became muksa before Yontif, and it doesn't lose that status even when it comes out on Yontif. Amalei Abaya, so you're saying that something which was muks, that was usable for animals, is not muksa. Hashta, asked the Gemara, how could you say this? Muchen la'adam la'ev muchen la'klovim. According to Rabbi Yehuda, who's machmer in Hilchas Muksa, something that's usable for people cannot be used for animal. The Tanan, the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos, Daf Kuf Nun Vav Amabeis, teaches us, Mechatchen Asad Luim Lufnei Behema. The halacha is, we're allowed to cut gourds, we're allowed to cut these pumpkins, these cucumbers, in front of an animal on Shabbos, and it's not considered a tircha shloi l'tzayruch. It's not considered a oval tircha. And the Tosfos, that's how Rashi explains. Tosfos explains that it's not considered making into food, which ushvi oichlim may be considered making into food. As in the veil of nei klovim, even, and we're allowed to cut up an animal that died on Shabbos in front of dogs. Even though it wasn't usable before Shabbos, now it died, and it could be used for animal food. Rabbi Yehuda, because that follows the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, who, as we've been learning in our Masechta, from the beginning of the Masechta, has a lenient view towards Hilchas Muksa. Rabbi Yehuda, however, says, Im l'hoysa nevel be'er Shabbos, if it wasn't nevel before Shabbos, a surah. It may not be used for animals, l'fi shemuch enem namuchin. It wasn't designated for dogs. It was designated that will ultimately be eaten by human beings. So we say from here
and that something that's designated for humans can't be considered designated for animals. So how can we say that because the mother, the treifa, is muchen leklovim, it's going to be muchen for Adam? Amalei, so Rabbi said back, in muchen leAdam, something that's meant to be used for human beings, lo havim muchen leklovim, cannot be used for animals. The ma'ida chazal leinish, something that could be consumed by human beings, lo shadal leklovim, he's not going to give to animals. However, muchen leklovim, something that could be used for animals, have a muchen leAdam. Because if it could be used for animals, what the person really means to think about this is the dati, the inish, a kol mida d'chazalei. He intends to use it in any way he can. So in other words, as the Miri explains, something that's muchen leAdam, the person doesn't intend to use it for any other purposes. And since he doesn't intend to use it for other purposes, it becomes muksa for other purposes. But something that has that can't be used for humans, the person says, I'll use it for anything that I can use. The Shulchan Aruch Rav in Paskins, that an animal that dies on Yontif is a nevela, and you can't serve it to klovim. He says it's in the category of Noilad. And the Chaznish disagrees. The Chaznish says since animals die, animals become nevelas, so he says that prevents it from getting the category of Noilad. Tanya Kavasa the Rav, so says the Gemara, as we began this sugya with the question of an afroyach shenoila beyontif, the machloikis of Rav and Shmuel, says the Gemara, there are brises that support each opinion. Tanya Kavasa the Rav, and Tanya Kavasa the Shmuel, v'itayim Reb Yochanan. Says the Gemara Tanya Kavasi the Rav, Egel Shenoyel B'Yontev, an Egel that was born on Yontev Mutter, Afroya Shenoyel B'Yontev Osir, but the chick that was born on Yontev is Osir. Says the Bryce itself, Oma Hefrish Ben Zeh Zeh, what's the difference between the calf and the chick? Zeh Muchen Agavim B'Shchita, if we'll shech the mother, the calf may be eaten, and therefore it doesn't become Muksa, V'Zeh En Muchen Agavim, and therefore it becomes Muksa. On the other hand, says the Gemara, Tanya Kavasei the Shmuel V'Tamer Reb Yochanan, Egel Shenoyel B'Yontev Mutter, and similarly, Efroyach Shenoyel B'Yontev Mutter. My Tama, Zem Muchen Agav Imoy, the calf certainly is not Muksa, because when you shech the mother, you're allowed to eat the calf that's found in it. Zem Manta Atzma B'Shchitoy, the Gemara repeats the concept that we discussed earlier in Amud Aleph, the concept of Manta Atzma B'Shchitoy. Tana Abonim, Efroyach Shenoyel B'Yontev, Osir. A freich that was born on Yontif is Osir, that because it's Muksa. Well, clearly what the Tanakam is saying is, that's a Yontif issue, the issue of Muksa. But if it was born during the week, it would be mutter to eat immediately. Lezer ben Yaakov Aymer, af b'chol Osir, even during the week, you may not eat it right away, lefish lo nisfachtu enov, until its eyes open up, it's not considered a chick. It's still considered a sheretz. And of course, we may not eat a sheretz. Says the Gemara, Kaman az lahad tanya, whose opinion is followed in this braisa? The pasuk says, L'chol ha-sheretz ha-sheretz ha-oretz, l'rabbis afroichim shle niftuchu ha-neim, that until their eyes are opened, they're considered a sheretz. Says the Gemara, Releza ben Yaakov. It's the opinion of Releza ben Yaakov. There's interesting machloikas achroinim. Here we're saying that the chick, until it opens its eyes, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, is considered a sheretz. The question is that midaraisa or is that midarabona? Says the Gemara, Amar Afuna Amar Rabbeya im Yitzyosin the Gemara. As soon as the egg is hatched by the mother, it's considered a full-fledged egg and it's mutter. But until it's in the mother's womb, it's not mutter. Mayim Yitzyosin the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Ilema imitziyasa nigmara, that when it goes out of its mother, mutaris lach b'chalav, it's considered an egg, it's no longer considered part of the chicken, it's no longer fleishiks, and it may be eaten with milk. Says the Gemara, habmei ima, which clearly indicates that while it's still in its mother, asur lach b'chalav, it can't be eaten with milk, because it's still considered part of the mother, so it's considered meat, which of course may not be eaten with milk. Ask the Gemara of Atanya, Shaykh Rasatan Goylus, If somebody shechs a chicken or matzah by bein gemuris, and we find in it eggs that are already completely formed, mataras lachem b'chalav, even though they were never hatched. So that can't be pshat. Says the Gemara, ella em yitzias nigbara, when it comes out of its mother, mataras lachem b'yantiv, because that means it was prepared from before yantiv and I could eat in yantiv. So it means ha b'mei ima. But if it's found still in its mother's womb, a surah lach l'biyantiv, it'll be considered on the category abeya shanol l'biyantiv, that we spoke on that base already, that since if it's born on yantiv, it was already prepared from before yantiv. So when yantiv is on the second day yantiv, it means it was prepared on the first day Yontif. And as we learned on that Beis on the Beis, because of that case, Beis Hillel said that all Beyim that are born on Yontif, even if it's not the second day Yontif, where we don't have a concern that the first day Yontif prepared for the second day Yontif may not be eaten on Yontif. Ask the Gemara, but how can we give such an explanation? For Tanya, have we not learned in a brisa? Hashoich l'asatana goyel samotza b'beyim gemuris. If you shecht a chicken on a hen on Yontif, and you find them being gemuris, muta lachlan b'yantif. How could Rav disagree with a braisa? V'chitem k'mashlam b'braisa, d'loim mashminim b'masnisin. The braisa is telling us something that we didn't learn in a Mishnah. Says the Gemara, ha'nami tanina, b'eish nol d'b'yantif, b'sham ar m'taychel, v'sim loy taychel. Says the Gemara, atkan loy pligi b'sham b'esilol, the machlokas b'sham b'esilol were limited to the situation b'nolda, when it's found in its mother's womb, divrei hakol sharia, and that's going to be exactly what the braisa says. If you'll say, because says the Gemara, because if you want to say, they hold that it's also even when it's found in its mother's womb, so why did the Mishnah have to speak about the case when it was born? The Mishnah could have told us that even when you shech the mother, which of course you're allowed to shech the chicken in Yontif, if you find that chicken egg in it, you're not allowed to eat it, so that would be a big chiddush to tell us, because we always want to speak about the koich da teira, and the koich da teira beishamai is the filo nolda na mishari. Says the Gemara, Elohad Tanya, how says the Gemara, can you say this? Hashachas Tana Goylus, the Brisa says that if you shech the chicken, so it seems only because that they were found in the mother. But if they would have been born, it would be usur. According to your interpretation, Mani, whose opinion will that be? Loi Beishamai, because Beishamai, going back to the Mishnah at the beginning of Masechta, says that it doesn't have to be found in its mother, even if it was hatched on Yontif its mother. And the way we're learning now, according to Beis Hillel, it's usur not only when it's hatched, but it's also even when it's found in its mother's stomach. So the Braisa obviously is telling us that the halacha is that a beya that's born on Yontif, that's hatched on Yontif, the first Mishnah of our Masechta Beis Hillel says may not be eaten, but if it's found in its mother's stomach when you shechted the mother, which of course everybody says you're allowed to shecht the chicken on Yontif, it would be mutter. So how did Rav say that beyim, that eggs that are found in the mother on Yontif, when you shech them, are usur, what will Rav do with this braisa?